Erica. I knew I'd get it right second time around. Good to be saved, isn't it? When I first went to Memorial, of course, people there didn't really know me. So Barry was kind of concerned about some of my pulpit idiosyncrasies. And so he sat down next to Margaret and said, "Now, Margaret, I want you to tell me what signs he uses and things like that so I'll know what's going on." She said, "I'd be glad to." Said, "I'd be glad to help you any way I can." So I got up to preach that day and I gave it this. Barry said, "Margaret, what does that mean? What does that mean when he does this? It means everybody's staying." Then I gave it that. Barry said, "Margaret, what does that mean?" "It means everybody sit down." Then I gave a little notion like that. And he said, "Margaret, what does that mean?" She said, "That means turn thermostat up or down." And I took my watch off and laid it on the pulpit. And he said, "Margaret, what does that mean?" She said, "It doesn't mean a thing." Doesn't mean a thing. Yeah, I'd like to preach that church where you just preach. Good to see each of you. Nice to be in a good warm place on a cold night, isn't it? Good to be born again, good to be saved. Wonderful Savior, wonderful salvation we have in Him. But tonight I want to challenge you. Some things that I've ran across through the years of why people aren't doing for the Lord what needs to be done. And we're all guilty of that. I mean, there are certain things I'll do and certain things I won't do. One of the things I won't do is lead singing. Now, if I had to, I would. But I didn't like it. It was out of my comfort zone. It was something that I wouldn't volunteer to do. In fact, when I took music in college, my instructor, I said, I tell you what I'm going to do this summer. So I told him, I said, "I'm going to take voice lessons. I want to be able to stand and sing like these guys do in chapel." And he said, "Mullins, I tell you what, if you won't take voice lessons, if you promise not to take voice lessons," he said, "I'll pass you whether you pass or not." So I passed. And this day, I don't know if I really passed or not. But I didn't take voice lessons. There are certain things that we do, certain things that we're comfortable in, certain things we're not comfortable in. But I ran across these little verses over here in Luke chapter 5 that got me to thinking that, and I was thinking about launching out in the deep. In other words, let's take it a step further, our ministry, our life, our giving to Christ. Let's take it a little step further than what we normally would. The Word of God says this. It says, "It came to pass that as the people pressed upon him, to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret." Now, this is the Lord Jesus Christ that's being spoken of here. "And saw two ships." This is Jesus, "saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. And when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, 'Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught.' And Simon answered and said unto him, 'Master, we've toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net.' And when they had done this, when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake," the Bible says. "And they beckoned unto their partners, and were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. And Simon Peter saw it. He fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." And he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, "Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." And when they had brought their ships to the land, they forsook all and followed him. What a great result. I ran across this poem. One of my favorite courses in college was world literature. I love poetry. I like to read poetry. I'm not good at quoting poetry. I don't have the timing for it. But I ran across this and I thought, this will go well with my thought this evening, what I'm thinking about. It goes like this: "Thou love, O Christ, is boundless, more boundless than the sky, to deepest plummet soundless, for thou for me didst die. Thy love is grace abounding, with fullness like the sea, still it is forth sounding, glad tidings unto me." Tremendous poem concerning the grace and wonders of our great God. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 17 and 18, Paul said that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, and depth and height. To know the love of Christ, which passeth understanding, that ye must be filled with all the fullness of God. What a tremendous prayer that Paul was praying for the Christians at Ephesus. Now, if we're going to attain this, and is it possible to attain this? Folks, I'm convinced that if God's real, if the Lord Jesus Christ died for our sin, was buried and resurrected again, and he ascended and he's in heaven with the Father, I'm convinced that he in our lifetime, in our Christianity, can attain these great truths of God's word. I'm convinced of that. Now, just because we haven't, it isn't God's fault. Many times we tap in the resources. Let me share with you another passage over in the book of Hebrews. And I think I've talked to you about this once before, but let's go back over there and let's look at it again. Hebrews chapter 2. Tremendous thought here in Hebrews chapter 2. And I'm going to share some things with you out of it that might... You might have thought of it one way, but not seen it the other. It says in chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression, disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will." Now, when you first read through these verses superficially, people have the idea that he's talking here to lost people concerning salvation. But we find here that he's not talking to lost people. He's talking to saved people. And if he's talking to saved people, exactly what is the message that he's relaying to us here in this particular portion of Scripture? Well, it's sort of like this. It's like going to a stream and sitting on the side of the stream, taking my shoes off, and nobody wants to see that. and just putting my feet in the water as the stream flows past. In other words, never really in it, but partaking of it. Now he's saying here to the believer that in the believer's life, many times we just stick our feet in the water of Christianity and God's power and God's love for us. We just kind of stick our feet in the water and the stream flows by. What he's doing here, he's encouraging us to get out in the midst of the stream. If you go over in the book of Ezekiel, it talks about the millennial temple over there, and it talks about the water flowing. And he's encouraging Ezekiel in that vision to get into the water. He goes leg deep, and then he goes waist deep, and finally he steps out into the current, and the current just lifts him up and takes him along. This is what he's encouraging us to do, not just stick our feet in water, not just go so far in serving the Lord or go so far in loving Christ, but to get out into the midst of the stream and let the stream, the current of the stream, take us, and we flow with the current of that particular stream. This is exactly what he's talking about here. He's encouraging Christians to go beyond what normally do and go beyond what we normally think that we might experience this great truth that we read in the book of Ephesians. It is possible for the child of God to enjoy the blessings of God so rich and so strong that we can just literally flow with what God would have us to do. Several things that we see here in Luke chapter 5. One of the first things we see here that impressed me with this passage of Scripture is that the Lord Jesus Christ used the possession of Peter. The ship was ready for the master's use. A divine possession is what we're talking about here. And the divine possession should always be ready for the master's use. There are two things that we possess. Two things that we possess. Number one, we possess things, don't we? We possess things. Different types of things. I mean, if you go into my house, you'll see things in my house that you won't see in your house. Still, it's possessions. It's mine. I have a Chevrolet. All God's children ought to be driving Chevrolets. I have a Chevrolet, and that Chevrolet, not really mine, but it's what God has given me to use for a season. It's a possession. Not all of you have Chevrolets. Some of you have Nissans, and that we're praying for you, and Toyotas, and we're praying for you. It's a possession. We all have possessions. But the greatest possession that you and I have is ourselves. Did you know that? The greatest possession that we possess is ourselves. What is it God wants? Well, Lord, I'll let you have the Chevrolet out here. Or I'll let you have my possession. He said, I don't want any of those things. I want the greatest possession that you can possibly have, and that's you. So many times we withhold the possession of ourselves from God when God wants to take us and use us for the glory and honor of Jesus Christ. I can't think of anything in the world that we could do in our lifetime and to give ourselves totally and completely over to Christ. I can't think of anything in this world. Lord, you can have some of my talent. Well, talent's fine. I don't have any talent to give. You know, I don't have any talents. But the one thing that I have that God desires most It's me. I want you. I remember when I joined the Navy, you see these posters. Uncle Sam wants you, right? And I really believed Uncle Sam wanted me till I got in there, and then I found out what he wanted me for. You know, I kind of wish that I hadn't volunteered. But anyway, it's sort of like that. God is saying, the Lord's saying, listen, I appreciate all you do. I appreciate all you possess. I appreciate all your talent. But what I want most of all is I want you. The greatest possession that we have as Christians is ourselves. And that's the one possession that we hold back on more than anything. I'm willing to give up my money. I'm willing to give up my car. I was listening to an older preacher preach. So see, I'm a young preacher in that context. I was listening to an older preacher preach, and he was describing his possessions at home. He and his wife were talking. And he said, you know, honey, he said, we don't really need that table. Why don't we sell that table and give the money to the Lord? And then he was looking at the couch, and he said, you know, and he was naming all the things in that house that they could do without. I'd be willing to give up a lot of things, but it's very difficult to give myself totally over to the Lord. I just kind of like sitting on the stream, putting my feet in the water, and letting Christianity and the life of Christianity just flow by, never really experiencing and touching the power and the grace of God. What a great source that we neglect in our lives simply because we'll not give over to the Lord Jesus Christ. So the greatest possession that we can ever possess is ourselves. So what's he asking for here? Look at verses 2 and 3. He said, and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets, and entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and he taught the people in the ship. But if you look over into the final verses of these 11, it says in verse 9, he says to these apostles, he said, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. Now they understood exactly what the Lord Jesus was talking about. And the lesson that he'd given, it says, because in verse 11, and when they had brought their ships to the land, they forsook all and followed him. What was the lesson here? What was the teaching here? Was Jesus really interested in that ship? Well, sure. He needed to use the ship. It's a great thing to have the Lord use our possessions. But what was more than that he was after? He was after the hearts and the lives of those apostles. That's what he wanted. And that's what he desired. And that was the lesson that was taught there. Two great things that we possess. We possess things. We're willing to give things. But the greatest thing that we possess is our life, ourselves. Are we willing to give all that we might be used the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, if we're going to give all, and if we're going to give our possessions, and we're going to give ourselves, we must constantly be ready for the Lord to use the possession. I mean, really, after all, we belong to him. We don't belong to us. My life is not my life. It's his life. It's his life. And the proper attitude in a situation like this is simply this. If this then is not my life, whose life is it? The Bible says we're bought with a price. Amen. We belong to him if we're saved by the grace of God. Now, if we're not saved, we don't belong to him, we belong to Satan. But if we're saved, we belong to Jesus Christ. And the greatest thing that we can give him is ourselves, our lives. Can you imagine going through a whole lifetime of gaining possessions, but never really giving ourselves to the Lord? We just sat on the side of the stream, and we've let the life that Christ would have us flow by, and we're just kind of sticking our feet in the water. He used the possession of Peter, but the desire of the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ was for their all and for all to follow him. So what does he do? We find in the Word of God that he gives a gracious commission. When our Lord uses our possessions, he always gives a commission. Look at verse 4. It says, now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down the nets for a draught. What was the commission? Launch out and let down. That was the commission. The result was given in 6 and 7 and then in verse 11. As said, we belong to him. All we have belongs to him. But he commissions us to launch out and let down. In other words, get up from off the bank, step into the water, and flow into God's gracious power. And God's grace. It's an untapped power in many lives. You see it all the time. Folks just getting by, never really giving themselves to Christ. And because of it, never really enjoying what Christ for us. What was the commission to launch out and let down? Now, let's talk about some things that would stop us from launching out and letting down. What are some of the things that would stop us from that? Well, first of all, if we're fretting over our weaknesses, let me show you something over here in Isaiah chapter 12 and verse 2. Word of God reads this. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. What was Isaiah saying there in that verse of Scripture? Very simple verse of Scripture. He said, he's my strength and I'll trust in him. Preacher, listen. You just don't understand. You know, I want to, I have a desire to, but I just can't do this or I just can't. How many of you ever heard that? I can't. I can't. You know, when I was in college about 120 years ago, I never took a test I didn't think I'd pass. Never. I'd go into that classroom knowing that I was going to have a test that day and I was going to pass it, and no one or nothing could convince me otherwise. Now, does that mean I passed every test? Well, no, D. I didn't pass every test, but I never said I can't. When I boxed, I never faced an opponent I didn't think I could whip. I met one little guy out of New York one time, fellow was about this tall, and he was Golden Glove boxer. Well, I wasn't a Golden Glove boxer. I was just a brawler. That's all I was. And I mean, that bell would ring, and we'd get out there, and we'd go to it. And that little fellow said, bam, bam, bam. Bam, 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 bam. I mean, all I saw that night was boxing glove coming in. Hit me in the nose. That's all I saw. And he was just beating me all to pieces in the middle of the ring. And I couldn't figure him out. Little fella in there, bam, bam. It's like a little banny rooster running around. Bam, 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 come from behind. Bam, 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 on the side. Bam, 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 on the other side. Bam, bam, bam. I said, I know I can beat this little fella. Little scrawny guy, I know I can beat him. So in my corner, the fellow that rang the bell sat to the side, so I was watching him out of the corner of my eye. I saw him raise that hammer up, and he started that hammer down. And the minute he hit it, I jumped up and ran across the ring as fast as I could and bit that little guy as he was coming out of the corner and just knocked him colder than a turkey. I beat him that night. But you know what I was thinking about after I beat him? What if I meet him again? What am I going to do? But I never faced an opponent that I didn't think I could whip. Instead of I can't, let's think about I can. Amen. Instead of thinking about doing it in our own weakness, let's think about the power that we have at our disposal. That I can do all things, Paul said, through Christ, which strengthens me. He wasn't one of these guys that says, I can't. I can't. Preacher, I would, but I can't. I'd be glad to teach that Sunday school class, but I just can't. I don't have the talent. I don't have the ability. And it just bothers me to get in front of people. It scares me to death to get in front of people. I just can't do it. And God's got something for us out there. If we just get beyond, I can't. So sometimes we revel in our weaknesses. Do you know that? Well, look, I like my pastor, and I love my pastor and all this, that, and the other, but I'm just, you know, brother, I can't do it. And I can wallow in that. And I can wallow in my weakness rather by allowing God. You know what we're saying when we say I can't to Christ, or I can't to my Sunday school superintendent, or I can't to my pastor, or I can't to my song leader? You know what we're saying? We're saying God doesn't have the ability to help me on this. God doesn't have the ability to help me on this. I mean, he can help me in a lot of things, but you know, preacher, he can't help me there. I'm just too weak. And instead of getting out in the middle of the stream, I'm just going to let Christianity just flow right on by, and I'll stick my feet into it every once in a while. But I'm not going to get, we can revel in our weaknesses. And when we begin to revel in our weaknesses, what happens is we just allow what God would have us to do by just letting it flow by and not getting all that involved in it. Or how about this? How about despairing in our unworthiness? Luke chapter 7 and verse 6, the centurion said, I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Now, what he's saying is true. None of us are worthy. We're not worthy of the salvation of the Lord. We're not worthy of Christ. We're rebels. We're sinners. We're not worthy of anything God has for us. This is what the centurion was saying. I'm just unworthy. Now, the Lord knew he was unworthy. The Lord knew that. Truth is, he didn't go to that centurion because he was worthy. He went to that centurion because he loved him. Christ didn't come from glory to go to a cross and die for our sins because we're worthy. He did it because he loved us. Christ doesn't use us because we're worthy. He uses us because, first of all, we're willing, but also because he loves us. You know, he wants us to enjoy him to the fullest. We'll do anything for the world. Anything for the world. Get that paycheck. And what is a paycheck? Just a piece of paper. Stop and think about it. We work all week for a piece of paper. I don't know. Now they pay us on the internet when it comes. When it's working the way it should work. They pay us on the internet and all that. But we take that piece of paper and we go down to the bank and we exchange it for other pieces of paper. And we've given our whole week for a piece of paper. One piece of paper. While what Christ and God wants us to do is just flowing by. And we just sit on the side of the bank and stick our feet in the water. Preacher, you just don't understand. I'm not deserving of it. I'm not either. Preacher, you just don't understand. I can't serve the Lord because I'm unworthy. And just like reveling in weakness, there are times that we revel in our unworthiness. I could tell you about reveling, pity parties and all this, that, and the other. I'm a world's champion on pity parties. I'm telling you, that every test that comes along, every trial that comes our way, every crisis that we face, as Christians or as a church, and when the Lord gets us through this thing, we get on the other side, we see really how unworthy we are, but it didn't keep us serving him. You know, most of the time in our life, tests, trials, crisis, most of these things we bring on ourselves. We bring it on ourselves most of the time. Probably 90% of the time, if you want to get down to percentages. Really, tests and crisis and all this stuff comes our way, we have no control over. We face life without a blueprint. We come into this world in pain. Did you know that? That baby is slapped on the behind and that breath is taken. It's painful. That first breath, and it causes them to cry. We come in the world in pain. We go through life, one crisis after another, one grief after another. And we think about all of these things that we just don't know what lies ahead tomorrow. But one thing that I'm confident of, the love of God, the power of God, and the ability of God. He said, I'm God. There's none other. I'm do all things. There's nothing God can't do. And if we get to wallowing in this thing, well, I'm really not worthy to be a servant. I'm really not worthy to teach Sunday school class. I'm really not worthy to go out and knock on doors. I'm really not worthy to serve. We're not careful. We just let life pass us by. Unworthiness can be an excuse instead of using it for a catalyst. It can drag us down and hurt us in our service to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then there's something else. Is hurt and pain. Preacher, you don't understand. I've really been hurt. Well, we've all been hurt. Amen. We've all been hurt. Somebody said something. Somebody has done something that's hurt us. Sort of like high school. When I went to high school 400 years ago, I hated high school. I just hated high school. I can't tell you the times that I've been hurt in high school. I just dreaded going. You know why I was hurt? Because of girls. Luke, I want to talk to you like your daddy. You mark it down, son. They're going to hurt you. Amen, preacher. You know how it is when you're young and all those hormones and man, I mean, you could put a blonde wig on a plucked chicken and it'd look great. And you fall in love with that plucked chicken. I was given up for Lent. Has anybody here ever been given up for Lent? If you ever run into somebody named Pat Berger, you run the other way. She came up to me one day. She said, Butch, she says, you know I love you. When they start flashing, that was eyes and batting. You know the other shoe's about to fall. I love you. I didn't know anything about Catholicism in those days. But she said, because I love you so much, I'm supposed to give up the thing that I love the most for 40 days. By that time, I've swallowed all that stuff. I believe all that stuff. So she gave me up for Lent and started going to my best friend. Now, apparently, she loved me so much, but despised him so much that she started going with him. And what are we going to do, Luke, when that happens? I'm not going to fool with them anymore. I'm talking about hurt in high school. I'm through with girls. But here comes that plucked chicken and that blonde wig. And we fall in love all over again. Go down the same path we've gone down so many times before. I hated high school, and I sure didn't like to date. Hurt! You have no idea. I grieve Pat Berger. We've all been hurt. We've all been hurt. I can't tell you the times my feelings have been hurt in church. Something said or done that hurt my feelings. But just think about what Christ went through. They plucked out his beard. They spit on him. They stripped him naked. There wasn't a loincloth there. He was stripped naked for all of Rome to see. Jerusalem. For all Jerusalem to see. He's been maligned. He's been cussed. He's had fists shaken at him. Did he quit? No way. We've all been hurt. If I allow hurt to use that as an excuse of not to ever serve God again, or I'm not going back to that church anymore. You just don't know how they've hurt my feelings down there at that church. We just kind of stick our feet in the water and let the stream go by. What was the challenge here? The challenge was to launch out and let down. That was a commission that Christ gave. Did you know Christ never asked to use a possession that he doesn't give a commission? Hey, Butch, get up. Don't worry about that plucked chicken, that blonde wig. Don't worry about Pat Berger giving you up for Lent. Don't worry about what they said about you down to church house. But you just get up. Step out into the stream and allow God's grace and power to carry us in His glory, His power. Launch out with our lives. Let down with our possessions. And with this commission burning deep in our hearts, let's launch out and let down. Don't allow anything that would stand in the way of our service to hinder our service for the Lord. Launch out and let down. I don't know your hearts this evening. God knows every heart here. Miss Mallory comes to play the piano. Steve, lead us in singing. Whatever is on your heart, if, for instance, you've just thinking about just giving up, I'm just going to quit, preacher. I just, nothing works out right. I'm just going to give up. Are you ready to throw the hat into the ring? Get off the side of that creek. Get out in the middle. And you just keep on serving the Lord. And let His power and grace and love and mercy just carry you through all the days of your life. Launch out. Let down. What are we singing there, Brother Steve?
Jesus is calling.
Let's stand. God did.